Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. And it's our pleasure now to welcome to the show Justin Sizemore. He is a family law lawyer with the Sizemore Law Firm out of Fort Worth, Texas. And we're here to talk about the NCAA's new rule on name, image, likeness, or NIL, and how it affects now high school preps as well. Justin, welcome to the show. The thing about NIL that I think is interesting is it's still a little bit of the Wild West, as every state kind of has their own guidelines. Correct me if I'm wrong. We don't really have a federal guideline to this yet, do we?
That's absolutely correct.
So how much of it...
For example...
Yeah, go ahead.
You may have heard some of the relocation from some of Southlake's, you know, top quarterback, for example, was looking up north. So there's not a uniform regulation as far as UIL yet that we've seen. And obviously the feds are kind of the last people to catch up to the process, but that's certainly an issue now.
Well, you have, you know, we heard it with Saban down in Tuscaloosa talking about his quarterback might be making more than six figures before he's taken a snap. We see kids now signing on with, you know, media promotional companies as well. It just seems so willy-nilly. How is that going to be regulated?
Well, what's really fascinating and some of the things you don't think about are, for example, in child custody cases, we're actually arguing one of nine enumerated rights that we never used to argue because we joked about your kid's not going to be Macaulay Culkin. But now your child can literally be a third team, you know, badminton player, and somehow because of their social media presence can become a very massively marketable UIL proponent. So we're seeing parents actually argue it over it. So as willy-nilly as it is, it's become a situation that's arising in custody cases, which, as we know, 56% of people in the state of Texas get divorced. So you or your buddy has certainly had this issue. And now the kids are getting drug in the middle of it. And under the UIL, basically the colleges aren't allowed to approach the children until the age of 18. But that doesn't stop the private consumer from hitting them early on. And with Bitcoin and the way these kids can navigate the cryptocurrency, we're seeing a lot of just, you know, kids becoming adults at a much younger age.
You know, we all remember the dad in Little League that would stand behind the backstop and scream at his kid for swinging at bad pitches. And, you know, he always thought, well, my son's going to the big leagues. Because of what you said, do you think you're going to have parents now saying, look, you got to learn how to pop and lock on TikTok. This is where it's at.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And, you know, the interesting part, too, is it's creating parents finding loopholes for their kids to become employees and do things to get them in universities. So I think you remember some of those situations that happened with testing scores and, you know, their kids be on swim teams and whatnot to get them in universities. This has become a whole nother segment of business that candidly, you know, the world is going to catch up to. It's way behind the eight ball, and kids are now going to be in a position where if they pop and lock well, they're going to get paid.
How have you seen it, you know, with just because obviously you're there with the Friday Night Lights, one of the hotbeds of high school football there in the state of Texas, obviously, especially in the Metroplex. How have you seen it so far when, you know, let's say, you know, you got UT Austin and A&M and whoever, they're coming to visit a kid. How much is that NIL discussed at this point in those recruiting trips?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously we're not privy to every single recruiting conversation that occurs here in Texas, but I will say that we're seeing a lot more conversations specifically and litigation transpiring because of it. So with respect to that, you know that it's coming up the pipe. Texas is still kind of slow to jump on the bandwagon, but, you know, you take a few key Southlake players out, Aledo players out, and you send them up north for a second, you're going to have Texas look at that issue really quickly. So I think sooner than later, we're going to have a massive UIL conversation, which is going to turn into a federal issue. But right now, I think, you know, we're just at the infancy stages of this. But there is no question what marketing's already hitting. We've already seen just in Texas Christian University is our local university around. We've already seen business is starting to look at these schools, and you know, candidly, the smaller the business, the more they're looking at the Instagram pages and looking at followers, as any intelligent business person would do. And so it's not necessarily athletic prowess that's going to make or break the UIL's contract. It's going to be a lot of other variable factors.
We're with Justin Sizemore, an attorney in Fort Worth, talking a little Horned Frogs. You know, it's when I think about some of these phenoms, like we all knew that Shaq and Garnett and LeBron, when these kids were high school sophomores, we knew that they were going to be pro. I remember out here in Oakland when Jason Kidd was 15, it was a consensus that he was going to be in the NBA. Everyone knew at 15. So now a 15-year-old is going to be pursued when it's that evident. And now you've got mom and dad, and you know, maybe dad is a farmer and mom works at Target. So now they're going to need representation. So now how do the agents or a guy like you, how do they step in?
Well, and that brings it back to the great question. When you get into a separation stage, who has the right to the service and earnings, and who has the right for legal representation for a child? That's a big, those are big enumerated rights now that never used to matter. And so as far as agencies concerned, the parental consent, the parents have to be unified in that decision making. And technically under the UIL, they're not allowed to approach them before the age of majority, which is 18. But you know, to think that they're not approaching those kids and cultivating them earlier on, either with or without parental consent, is just an oversight for sure. So from an agency perspective, the long-winded way of answering your question, I think what you're going to see is the agents having to go through, you know, conservators, having to go through parents with guardianship or those rights. And that will muddy the waters in and of itself. So you're going to have some court intervention that gets involved there from one parent trying to slow down this make my kid a commodity process that we're also worried about.
I think one of the key words you mentioned, too, is the word employee, which can be a little bit nebulous. And a few years ago, I remember the Northwestern football team was going to do their own little, Norma Rae unionized moment and call themselves employees. Out here in California, there are a lot of strict laws where, you know, unpaid internships after a certain number of hours, you are now an employee. So when do we stop saying student athlete and start saying student employee?
Well, that's a fantastic question. And even a step further, deeper layer to that onion is independent contractor versus employee. Because in the state of Texas, right, if you want to work as an independent contractor and you pay your child as an independent contractor to market, quote, your mattress firm or whatever your business is, in the state of Texas, as long as you don't direct their hours of operation, you don't give them equipment, and you don't tell them what they have to do, they can technically be an independent contractor. And now all of a sudden, you know, the purest form of independent contractor is a bunch of college students who want to get paid to dance on Instagram. They are independent contractors. So, you know, I don't know the way the California laws work because I'm not licensed there, but in Texas, that's going to be something that certainly we're dealing with. And I know you guys will as well.
The other thing is, too, and you know about this, and I don't, about signing a kid before he's 18, and how does that affect taxes and things like that?
Yeah, so obviously, you know, from the IRS code, with respect to a child being declared independent, they're not going to be emancipated for independent purposes for tax purposes. But once they hit that age of majority, or they're working in the state of Texas as an employee, and let's say they get over that threshold age of 18, it's going to affect it the same way it affects anybody else. And, you know, if you have kids, I worked as a waiter when I was growing up, we had, you know, tax issues and all that. The whole question is going to be whether or not there's regulation from the NCAA on whether businesses can be punished, private enterprises can be punished by an NCAA sanctioned group for them approaching children under the age of 18. That's where the regulation is going to be hyper-focused, in my opinion. And that's why they say the NCAA loses its power, because they can't possibly regulate. They don't have the resources. They don't have the bandwidth to even come close to scratching the surface. So it's going to have to be from a governmental level, and I'm guessing that they're already starting to broach those subjects, but it's going to have to be from a governmental level.
Last question for you. I know out in California we have, and I only know about them because of the hype, and that is a couple of, I think volleyball, not even basketball, volleyball players at Fresno State, the Kavinder twins, Haley and Hannah, who are two of the biggest stars in the world on TikTok. They're, you know, they're both good-looking blonde girls, and no one even talks about Bulldog volleyball. It's all TikTok. So I kind of wonder, like, you know, taking this to maybe a perverted level, but do you think that we'll get to a point where you'll go to practice with your team, your NCAA team, and then they'll allow you, you know, an hour per day to work on your TikTok moves?
I mean, it's a good question. The other question, too, is whether these coaches are going to restrict their players and take initiative on their part to avoid team distraction. You know, but you're going to still have these teams that part of their, you know, approach, just like Nick Saban says, we're the best at this. You're going to have some teams that are some mediocre, you know, athletic programs come in and say, we're not going to micromanage your profiles the way these other places do. And they're going to create that last chance university vibe, right? So, you know, there's going to be a market for it. It's going to be something that we're going to see very soon. It's going to get cheated. The regulations from the perspective of NCAA are going to be weak at best. And then you're going to have the feds come in, is my feeling on the order of operations of things.
I remember about 8 years ago, I had Bob Stoops on the show, and I was asking him about social media with his players, and he said, I just tell them, you know, before you hit send, just don't hit send. But I kind of think it might be the other way around now. It's like, hey, when you get back to your dorm, make sure you hit send.
Well, and I mean, it's name, image, and likeness, and you've all seen the brands. Like, we have in Texas, we have this belt brand that you very clearly recognize the school based on this belt brand, and there's not a single monochrome or article on the belt itself that shows that it's a TCU or a SMU or a UT scenario, but you know that that's affiliated with that school. So where do they draw the line? You know, you're not allowed to put this stuff on jerseys, but you start wearing a color, and now all of a sudden you just slap on all your sponsors on there. It's going to be a different ballgame for sure.
No doubt about it. Somebody who knows that is our guest, Justin Sizemore from the Sizemore Law Firm out of Fort Worth, Texas. Justin, thanks for coming on the show. Thanks for your insights.
Hey, thank you, my friend. Y'all take care. Have a great day.
All right. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back on Sports Byline.